You're listening to audio from Bonnet Pond Community Church. For more information, you can find us on Facebook at Bonnet Pond Church. We hope you enjoy.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 23. I want to say this before we get started. At the end of the message this morning, I'm going to have the Hook family come up, Harry and Marie Hook with their family. We're going to pray over their son, Spencer. Logan, I'm sorry. I get them too confused. Hey, they look so much alike. I'm sorry. But we're going to pray over Logan. The doctor's seeing some things in his liver. Mama's not happy with. And so I just want to go ahead and let you know at the end of the service, we're going to pray for that young man. We're going to gather around him, and we're going to believe that God's going to heal him, okay? We've seen a lot of healings in this place lately. We've seen a young man healed of cancer. We've seen Brother Kevin's knee be restored on a Wednesday night, Brother Barry, and just countless others. We've seen so many amazing things that God is doing, and that young man's no respecter of person. To God, he's going to heal that young man too today. Amen. Who's going to believe with me? I just need somebody to, yeah, just going to say, the promises of God are yay and amen. Who's going to say amen with this family? Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I was thinking earlier that even some of the greatest baseball players often fall into hitting slumps. Don't matter how good you are at times, you're going to fall into a hitting slump. But the one thing I love about these baseball players, these major league players, is that they don't give up when they get into a slump. What they do is they get somebody to pull them off to the side, and they get a camera and they put it on them. They say, I want you to look at me and I want you to see exactly what I'm doing wrong. Usually, it's something very small. It's usually maybe they're just pulling their head at the last second and they're not able to see that ball to hit it. You know, you can't hit something you can't see. And so they get somebody to pull them off to the side, video them to say, hey, what is going on with my technique and reason why I'm in this slump? And then they get it fixed and they go back out there and they start hitting the ball. You know, sometimes you and I will go through spiritual slumps in our life. But I want to encourage you, don't give up. Just like the major league players, they don't give up when they go through a slump. Don't give up when you're going through a spiritual slump. Because it may be just something just so easy that you just got your eyes off of Christ. And don't you know that when you get your eyes off of Christ, you're going to go through a spiritual slump. So today I want to encourage you to allow the Word of God to search you to your core. This morning, search you in the very inner parts of your heart, inner parts of your mind, in the very depths of your soul today to allow God to help you. Because I, you know what? I know that He will, and I'm believing that this morning. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and 23. And the Word of God says this, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. Let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we're so honored to be in this place today. Father, I know that your presence is here because we've invited you here. We've made this church available for your presence to operate and to function. And right now, God, I'm asking you to let the fire fall this morning. Let it fall on every individual. God, because we know that if we allow the fire to fall on our circumstances, on our fears, on our doubts, on our inabilities, on our insecurities, we know that the fire will consume these things. So we're asking you today to allow the fire to fall from heaven, God, upon each and every one of us, even this pastor. Let the fire fall on me this morning, God. And I promise you, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We will glorify your name. We will testify of your goodness and your faithfulness everywhere we go, because you are a good God. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Buy the truth and sell it not. Bible's telling us to buy the truth, the all of the truth, not just bits and pieces of the truth, not just the bits and pieces that you like or that you enjoy. Buy the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Amen. Buy the whole truth. But just not a one-time thing. It's a continuous process in our lives. I know since I've been saved 2005, I'm continuously buying this truth every single day. And what I mean by buying the truth, I mean believing in it. I mean accepting it. I mean approving of it. I mean trusting in it. I mean counting on the truth. I mean having confidence in the truth. I mean having faith in the truth. To allow the truth to be inside of me and me to be inside the truth. To buy that truth, to own it. To allow the truth to govern me. To allow the truth to guide us. Every day of our lives. Not just on Sunday morning. Allow the truth to govern us and guide us every single day of our life. Allow the truth to empower you every day. Believe in that truth and allow that truth to empower you. Allow it to produce a peace in your life that makes you unwavering, that makes you unshakable in the midst of adversity. Buy this truth and don't you ever sell it. Don't you ever trade it in for anything inferior. Buy this truth, because we know the truth shall make you free. Amen. Come on, somebody. The truth shall make you free. The truth I understand in my daily life, it keeps me thinking right. It keeps me moving in the right direction. It actually helps me to discern different things in my life. Not usually from good and bad. I got enough common sense to figure that out. But it's usually to help me discern from what's good and what's great. For what I think is good for me, but what God has great in store for me. To lay down that what's good and to grab a hold of the great in my life. That's what the truth will do to you. It'll feed you. It'll provide for you. It'll protect you. And it'll also give you comfort in your time of weakness. But I want you to buy this truth at whatever cost it's going to cost you. Because I will say this, the truth is costly. You can't find it at the Dollar General store. You're not going to find it on the sales rack, preacher. You're not going to find it on a clearance rack. Truth is very costly. That's why a lot of people don't buy the truth, because it costs them too much. It's going to cost them their life. Because one thing that I've noticed is that salvation is free, but truth is costly. To allow this truth to live and to abide in our hearts, to guide us and direct us, don't you know that it's going to be costly to you? So we have to allow this truth to be inside of us, and we have to hold on to this truth no matter what, and don't you ever sell it. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what your circumstances are trying to say to you, or what the doctor is saying to you, or what your bank account is saying to you. You hold on to that truth because it's the truth that's going to empower you through these situations that you're going to encounter. Because I do believe that I'm not the only one that has encountered hard times. I'm not the only one that has been in a Cat 5 hurricane. We're all going to go through dark moments. We're all going to go through lonely moments. We're all going to go through frustrating moments in our life. And can I tell you, it's not Facebook that's going to get you through it. It's going to be the truth that's living in a body and in your heart that's going to see you through. It's that truth that you've decided to buy and to store up in your heart on a rainy day, on a dark moment, that's going to give you the strength, that's going to give you the light, that's going to give you the ability to keep moving on when everything around you is telling you to give up, when everything around you is saying you're in a spiritual slump, you might as well stop and give up. It's the truth that says, I got you. It's the truth that says, I'm here. It's the truth that says, I'm holding your hand, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I say we thank God for the truth. We thank God for the truth that it's available to every one of us in this building today. It's available to everybody that wants to buy it. The question is, do you love the truth enough to buy it? Then do you love it enough to hold on to it? Because I know sometimes whenever you're trying to, when you have to make room for new things in your life, you have to have a garage sale. You have to get rid of those old things so you can get the new things in the house, right? I never forget when my wife and I built our house out there at Deer Point. We were so happy because the first house we bought was a government repo home. I remember I bought it for $67,000. And the furniture that we had in it was borrowed furniture. The dryer and the washer that I got, I found at a house that I inspected, and the people left it behind, and the lady said, you can have it. But wouldn't you know, when I built that new house, Brother Jason, my wife said, we're going to have to get some new furniture. I didn't realize buying a new house was going to be so costly for me. Because she said, we're not taking that old, stained, wore-out couch and putting it in my new house. No, sir. I looked at her and said, why not, baby? That thing's comfortable. I finally got the grooves in it just the way I like it. She said, no, it's stained, it's wore out, and it's not going to look right in our new house. So finally, we get a new couch. Then it was, oh, we need a new bedroom set now because the old one's not going to work inside this. We got to get a new one. We got to get a new coffee table, got to get a new dining room table, got to get a new kitchen table. I'm telling you, it was very costly in order for me to acquire these things. But I will say this, at the end of the day, I was happy because she was happy. And my daddy always told me, son, amen. He said, son, you want to be happy more than you want to be right. You want a good marriage, you be happy and not be right. So I was happy because she was happy, but I will say this, just sitting back and relaxing on that new couch was pretty darn awesome as well. It was nice. Sleeping in that new bed was nice. But see, but the thing is, when we enter into this new life with Christ, we're in a new house, but there's sometimes we got to get rid of some of the old things. We got to get rid of some of the old thinking. We got to get rid of some of the old negative thoughts and the old negative desires because we got to make room for new things because we're going in a new direction. We're moving on with Christ. And I can tell you, it's going to be costly. It's going to cost you, and what it's going to cost you, everything to believe and to accept and to trust and count on this truth. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you your understanding. It's going to cost you your pride. It's going to cost you your opinion. going to cost you your fears. It's going to cost you your agenda. It's going to cost you your doubts. It's going to cost a lot. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price in order to buy this truth? Because I've noticed that the truth is not always user-friendly. It's not always user-friendly in my life. The truth is not always going to operate and function to what's convenient for us. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah. Yeah, I seen the look on your face, brother. He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that truth is not always going to be convenient to your feelings. It's not always going to be operating in a way that's going to suit or be favorable for your interests. When I look at Matthew chapter 14, very familiar scripture that I've run into is when Jesus went up to the mountain to pray and he sent his disciples over to the other side. And it said when they were in the midst of the sea, they said the wind came and was contrary against them. Wind was blowing against that boat. Waves were coming in inside that boat. It was at the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 in the morning, which is a very dark hour of the day. And they see a spirit walking on the water. Well, the Bible says that they were scared. They were very fearful of this spirit. But Jesus calls out and he says, "Do not be afraid, it is I." Then you hear Peter, he's the only one that stood out and said, "Listen, that boy sounds familiar. If that's you, Jesus, ask me to come out on that water." What he was doing is he was listening for that voice of truth to be spoken into his life, because at that moment, that voice of truth was calling him out of his comfort zone. It was going to cost him his comfort at that moment. It was going to cost him his doubt. It was going to cost him his fear. It was going to cost him his logic, because nobody has ever walked on the water. I'm telling you that truth is always going to challenge you. That's why it's going to always be costly to us to obtain it. It's going to be costly to us to hold on to that thing, because it's going to challenge every area of your life. It's going to present obstacles. It's going to bring troubles. It's going to be difficulty. And thing is, nobody likes difficulties. I've noticed in life, especially right now in this day and age, nobody likes troubles. Nobody likes difficulties. Nobody likes obstacles. Let's make it as easy as possible for me to make it through. I mean, my wife just bought this new little cooking machine. It cooks everything at one time. Makes it so easy, makes it so convenient. But I can tell you that the truth is not always easy, and it's not always convenient, and it's not always user-friendly, because it will challenge you. It's going to challenge you on a Sunday morning. It's going to challenge you on a Monday. On a Tuesday, it's going to challenge the very depths of who you are. That's why I believe a lot of people live frail lives. They live very weak Christian lives. They live very frustrating Christian lives, because the truth that they say that they hold on to is presenting challenges in their life, and they don't like it. Then they get into a spiritual slump, and then they quit. Don't you know the truth's going to present these obstacles in your life to prove that the very truth that you have within inside of you is greater than the obstacle that you're facing? The truth that's inside of you is a person. His name is Jesus. And don't you know that Jesus, if you say Jesus lives inside of you, it will be tested. It will be tried. It will come up against you. Obstacles, situations will come up against that truth that's living inside of you. And every time we come up against an obstacle, when we come up against a situation, we either have the ability to hold on to that truth and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world, or we'll say, we'll sell that truth and I'll grab a hold of doubt. I'll sell the truth of who God is and I'll hold on to that fear and I'll live in that fear. And I'll let that fear control me. You're either going to buy it and hold on to it, or you're going to sell it for something inferior. That truth is a person. And that truth represents everything that Jesus is. Now let's just think about that for just a moment. When you buy the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you buy into, in other words, you believe and you accept and you approve and you trust in every single thing that Jesus is. Not just one thing, everything. If you're going to buy the truth, buy every bit of it. If you're going to buy the truth, buy every single bit of that truth. Not just the good parts, you take every bit of it. And allow that truth to transform you. Because I often see people, they just make the truth a part of their life. And I want to say right now, you can't make the truth just a part of your life. The truth has to be your life. It has to be your life. Not just a part of your life. Young people, look at me right now. Look at me. Don't just make this truth a part of your life. Make it your life. Not just on a Sunday morning. Make it your life. You hear me? Make it your life. Because if the only time you're making the truth available to you is on a Sunday morning, you didn't buy the truth. If the only time the truth is operational in your life is on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, you did not buy the truth. You're just renting the truth for just a moment. When you rent the truth, you don't actually own it. It doesn't become you, and you don't become it. You only live there temporarily. And I see a lot of Christian people that they only living in the truth in temporary moments in their life. And these temporary moments are only in moments that when it's convenient to them. But can I tell you, there's going to be moments you're going to face a Goliath in your life. You're going to be walking in a valley, sister. You're going to be in a storm. You're going to come to a place where you're all alone and everybody you think's your friend ain't your friend. And the only friend you got is the truth. And if you've forsaken that, you're in trouble. I say buy the truth and sell it not. Because when we truly invest in the truth, you can allow that truth to be active in your life and watch it tear Satan's kingdom down all around you. Man. That's the amazing part about this truth is that nothing can stand up to this truth. Nothing can stand up to Christ. Nothing. Nothing can stand up to Christ. So when we allow that truth to be active in our life, then what it's doing is tearing down and getting rid of all these other inferior things in our life and is actually being raised above every other thing that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. But when we allow the truth to be real and active in our life, it can stand up and destroy every lie. When you buy the truth will destroy every lie the enemy has ever told you. Has anyone ever allowed the enemy to speak a lie to them? What does usually the enemy say to you? You're in a spiritual slump, you might as well quit. Huh? What does he say? You're never going to be good enough? What other lie that enemy's speaking to you? God ain't going to heal that boy. God ain't going to restore that marriage. He ain't going to save that soul. He's not going to provide financially for you. What lie has that enemy told you? Because I can tell you, when you buy that truth, it'll stand up against and destroy every lie that the enemy has ever spoken to you. He'll destroy that lie that you're an orphan. He'll destroy that lie that says you're never going to make it. But the only way you can allow that truth to stand up to all your doubts, to all your past, to all that condemnation, because that enemy, he knows how to bring that condemnation back up to you. He knows how to allow guilt to just overwhelm you once again. He knows how to allow fear to come back into your life, but truth breaks that fear down, destroys that guilt and that shame. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he, he said, be of God, little children. You are of God, little children. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You've overcome them. Now, I want you to understand, when you look at that truth and that truth comes inside of you, and he says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's not talking about just, he's a little bit greater. He's saying he's way greater, much more greater. There's not even a comparison to how great that Jesus is inside of you. A lot of people think that Satan is the opposite of God, but that's not true. Gabriel's the opposite of Satan. Gabriel and Satan are created beings. God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, they're not created beings. They're eternal beings. And so there's no match. There's no opposite from God. And that one thing that's greater in you than he that's in the world, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus, aka the truth. That's the truth living inside of you that's greater than all these other things. That's why you're able to overcome them. What is them? Them is all the lies, all the doubts, all the fears, all the condemnation. That's what that is. You're overcome all those things. As I was studying for this, I just want to read something real quick in Matthew chapter 16. I'm trying to hurry because I know we got to honor our students today. But in Matthew chapter 16, this is a spiritual truth that I want you to grab a hold of, because this is what is going to change you. Jesus was sitting there with his disciples, and Jesus looked at him and said, hey, who do people say that I am? Some were saying, you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. But Jesus says this. He looks at his disciples, just like I'm looking at you right now. But who do you say I am? I'm going to ask you that question right now. Who do you say Jesus is? And then you got Peter, loudmouth Peter. He barks up and says, hey, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, blessed art thou, I, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And he says this, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, in other words, he's saying, upon this truth, upon this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's saying that on this truth that you have bought into, the truth that you have believed in, the truth that you have accepted, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he is the anointed one, that he is the Alpha and Omega, the chief cornerstone, the first, the last, the deliverer, the hope, the salvation of this world, the author and the finisher of our faith, our strength, our comfort, our light, our rock, our shelter, our peace, our friend, our provider, the way, the truth, the life, the Almighty, the shepherd, the advocate, and the Lord. Upon this truth, upon this rock, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Somebody ought to give God a good hand clap.
Because the great thing about that truth is that that truth is living inside of you if you have bought it. If you have paid the price to obtain it and to hold on to it. He said all the gates of hell, everything that hell has to offer can come at you. It will never prevail against you. Man, if that don't make you want to shout and run, if that don't want to make you go out there and take hell on with a water pistol, I don't know what will. My God. Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Yes, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's not one single aspect of hell that can touch you or harm you or overcome you. But you got to have the truth in you. That truth has to be in you. It can't be rented on a Sunday morning. It can't be rented only through revival. It can't be rented only when you feel like it or when it's convenient. It's got to be a part of you. It's got to be your life and not a part of your life. Because I don't know about you, I never know when the gates of hell are going to try to overcome me. I'm driving down the road thinking everything's okay. Amen. Next thing I know, the gates of hell open up on me. And before I know it, amen, I got to say, I believe you're the Son of the living God. It'll come upon you in a quick New York second. But you know what the awesome thing is about this verse? It's verse number 19. Has anybody ever looked at verse number 19? Let's read 18 and 19 one more time. You ready? You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now listen, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I looked up almost every translation that I could find, and in every single one of them used the word keys. Now, I'm not no English major or anything like that. And I'm not all that smart. Okay, who am I kidding? Yes, I am. But I do know one thing. That word keys, Sister Sally, that's plural. They taught me that at Rutherford High School. But I do know that that's plural. And one thing I do know about keys, that keys have the ability to lock things and to unlock things. And when you buy the truth, I do want to say this, it gives you access to heaven. When you buy the truth gives you access to heaven. And this is what he's telling us right here. And if you can buy this truth's going to change the way you act, the way you think, the way you pray, the way you live, the way you talk. It's going to change everything about you. Because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And what he's saying, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He's saying that whatever is already illegal in heaven, you can make it illegal on earth. And whatever is legal in heaven, you can make it legal on earth. Now, I ain't never been to heaven, and one day I'm going to, brother. By the grace of God. But I know one thing, there ain't no sickness in heaven. One thing that I do know of, there's nobody worrying up in heaven. One thing I know, there's no frustration in heaven. There's no doubt in heaven. There's no anger in heaven. There's no unforgiveness in heaven, is there? No, sorry. There's no fear in heaven, is there? But what he's saying, that whatever is illegal in heaven, you can make it illegal here. I'll give you the keys to that. That any time that you have fear trying to overcome you, you got the keys to lock it up. Somebody help me. Somebody help me preach this morning. Woo, come on. It don't matter where you're at, don't matter how dark that dungeon is, don't matter what you're feeling like, or how big that storm is, you have the keys of the kingdom. So when doubt tries to overflood your mind and worry tries to overcome you, you can, by the authority of Jesus Christ, because you got the keys to the kingdom, you can lock that fear up and that worry up and say, I'm not going to play with you anymore. I want to know, how many of us have been playing with fear and doubt and worry and confusion and frustration too long? Aren't you tired of playing with that? Aren't you tired of playing with all that stuff? It's already illegal in heaven. Why do you want to play with something that's illegal in heaven? You can lock that up. Throw away the keys. Don't let them back out. Don't let them out on Sundays. Don't let them out on Mondays, right? Don't let that anger out. Don't let that jealousy out. Lock it up. But he also says that I give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, you can loose what's already legal there, and you can make it legal here. I'll bind up that sickness in Jesus' name. I'll loose the healing that's existing in heaven, and I'll loose it in that man's life. I'll bind up that unforgiveness, and I'll loose compassion into that life. I'll bind up that anger, amen, and I'll loose joy into that life. Praise God. I got keys to the kingdom. I'll lock up that complaining because everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. Come on now. I'll bind up. I'll lock the key to that complaining, that murmur, and that I'll lock it up. And I'll loose your happiness and that joy in all this life. Come on. But if I don't have that truth, I don't have the keys, and I can't do nothing to it. And I'll live a frail and weak and frustrating Christian life. Let me tell you something, church. God's taking you somewhere. Where are you going to let God take you? God's wanting to do something in your life. What do you want to do? What do you want him to do in your life? Buy the truth and don't you sell it. Get the keys of the kingdom and let God do his work in your life. Let him take you somewhere. Let him make something out of you. Let him get rid of that old furniture. My God, my God. I wasn't going to preach this hard this morning. I was going to try to be calm. Buy the truth and sell it not. Does that make sense to anybody? Some of you are thinking right now, my goodness, no wonder. No wonder I seem like I'm always in a spiritual slump. I'll have a couple good games, and then next thing you know, I'm in a slump again. I can tell you why you're in a slump again. Amen. You're only buying that truth on a Sunday morning. It's only getting you through half the day on Monday. Grab a hold of that truth and take a hold of the keys of the kingdom and lock up that spiritual slump. In Jesus' name. But here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to get this family up here. You're going to stand here with that boy, and we're going to bind up that sickness in that liver, and we're going to loose healing in that boy's body, because we've bought the truth. And it's not just me that's bought it. We've bought it. And if there's anybody else in this place this morning, anybody that wants to bind up that fear, wants to bind up that frustration, that anger, that unforgiveness, or whatever that lie is, whatever it may be, you come down here and you buy that truth. You hold on to that, and God will say, here's the keys of the kingdom, sweetheart. Bind it up and loose my anointing in your life. Make what is illegal in heaven illegal in your life, and make what's legal in heaven legal in your life.